UMass public bus system and growing the next generation of healthcare workers. This is KAWC's Arizona edition. I'm Victor Calderon. Yuma County Area Transit, or YCAT, is UMass public bus system. Officials say they're facing some economic challenges.
And if we have to cut service later on down the road, you know, minimize some of it, we will. Hopefully we won't have to do that.
And Onvita Health welcomed high school and college students this past week for the Mentor Me Winter Workshop.
The Volunteer Services and Mentor Me program here allows you to explore opportunities that are local so that you don't have to worry about leaving Yuma.
Those stories and a conversation with the host of the newest show on KAWC coming up on Arizona Edition.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. Yuma County Area Transit, or YCAT, is Yuma's public bus system. Officials say they're facing some economic challenges. KAWC Civic Engagement reporter Alexander Rangel spoke with YCAT's director about how passengers may be impacted.
For KAWC News, I'm Alexandra Rangel.
We always want to grow, we want to do more, but without the local funding to match our federal grants, we can't expand.
Over the last 4 years, YCAT, Yuma County's public transportation system, has been forced to return nearly $12 million in federal funding to the state due to a lack of local matching funds. Federal transit dollars require a dollar-for-dollar match from local governments, funding that YCAT has been unable to secure. In recent months, YCAT Director Shelley Krieger has been presenting to local governments, providing detailed updates on YCAT's annual ridership and their operating budget. In order to continue growing service, she says there needs to be an increase in local dollars to maximize available federal funding. She breaks it down for us.
We have to have match, and usually that's dollar for dollar for operating. So for every dollar in federal funds, we need a dollar of local match to spend. Our annual budget is $6.6 million. So pretty much all of that is a 50-50 split. So we need a good, you know, $3 million in local funds in order to use the federal funds. So when we don't have enough to use that entire year's portionment, then we have to return what we can't use, and it goes back into the state for the state pool for transit.
Funding for YCAT comes from three main sources: Federal Transit Administration grants, local revenue, and in-kind contributions. For fiscal year 2026, YCAT received a 3% funding increase from local partners, including cities and towns across Yuma County, Arizona Western College, and the two tribes in the area, bringing the total local funding to $1.1 million, which is about $30,000 more than last year. Krieger says they're grateful for the 3% increase, but it's not enough to keep the federal match.
When our costs go up every year for running the service goes up 5%. So 5% of $6 million is not $30,000. So we definitely need more money.
YCAT's operating cost for this year is estimated at $6.6 million, compared to an expected $7 million in revenue from all funding sources, leaving little room for expansion. And it's a lot of people in town that ride the bus. More than 400,000 people ride YCAT's bus each year, and more than half of those passengers are people who ride the yellow route.
So the Yellow Route transports people from Yuma to San Luis, San Luis to Yuma, and then on out to AWC. So the people crossing the border can use it, all the citizens within San Luis. It's the highest performing route. And it really was the original route that started transit back in about 2003. I think transit started in 2000 approximately, but the Yellow Route wasn't the Yellow Route then, but that was the first route for transit, and it remains the highest performing.
Since a majority of those people are probably coming from San Luis or live in San Luis, would you need more funding from that city?
It would be nice, but like with San Luis and everybody else, they're pretty strapped right now.
The Yellow Route alone cost about $3.2 million a year to operate, but the city of San Luis only contributes about $140,000 toward YCAT. Krieger estimates they would need a local match of approximately $1.6 million from San Luis to meet the dollar-for-dollar requirement set by the federal government. But that money just isn't there, as the city of San Luis has had its own challenges with their city budget.
It's tough for everybody, and I get it, you know, but so we're just trying to whatever we can do. And I mean, if we have to cut service later on down the road, you know, minimize some of it, we will. Hopefully we won't have to do that.
During a December meeting, San Luis Mayor Nieves Rydell acknowledged the importance of the bus service to the community.
In behalf of the mayor and the council and the city of San Luis, we highly appreciate it. We understand numbers. We understand the need.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we're all in this boat and we're all going through crisis.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. It will be catastrophic if we were to lose a service like this.
I don't think we're there yet. We're not going to lose our service. We'll just, you know, one day we'll be able to expand. And once we hopefully get a tax, then we wouldn't have to depend on so many on the locals.
Thank you.
Krieger says YCAT is doing what it can to increase revenue.
That is $12 million that could have went right back into our community that we had to send back. That money would give more services for more people. I mean, that's the one thing I guess I would like them to understand, and I think they do. But again, that is a lot of money that we're not putting back into our own community.
Currently, YCAT operates 8 fixed bus routes. Krieger says that even with limited funding, YCAT is committed to increasing access.
What it does for the community, what it does for a lot of people that don't have access to transportation of their own.
For KAWC News, I'm Alexandra Rangel.
For KAWC News in Yuma, I'm Victor Calderon. The largest medical provider in Yuma County is hoping to grow the next generation of healthcare professionals right here in town with a new mentorship program. Onvita Health held its 3-day Mentor Me Winter Workshop this week. Officials say it gives local students from high schools and Arizona Western College an inside look at healthcare careers. Students are paired with physicians and clinical teams. Andrique Reyes is a junior at Cibola High School in the program. He says he wanted to learn from local hospital workers.
More recently, I've looked at a career in medicine, and I've found a lot of interest in the medical field. This, the winter workshop, wasn't necessarily something I planned to do. I just thought, like, oh, it's a cool opportunity that the volunteer services are providing and through the Mentor Me program. I ended up choosing the workshops to attend them, and I'm very glad that I did. They have a lot of opportunities for kind of career exploration within the medical field. So I kind of wanted just to take advantage of those to further explore the medical field and to kind of help guide my future through college and through medical school, and now finally choosing a career at the end.
For our listeners, if there's any young people like you that are in high school or like parents who have kids in high school that might be interested in this, what would you tell them, like, why they should join this program?
If their kids or if students my age are really looking for, if they're really looking for something to do that is complex and something that can challenge them, medicine is definitely the way to go. But if they are unsure of what they want to do and they know they want to go into medicine, joining programs like the volunteer services or the Mentor Me program through volunteer services is a great way to explore all of those opportunities that the hospital provides. And even if they want to stay here, the volunteer services and Mentor Me program here allows you to explore opportunities that are local so that you don't have to worry about leaving Yuma.
Lydia Black Thunder is a volunteer services manager with Onvita Health. She said students have a natural curiosity and the hospital wants to encourage locals to stay in the community and work in healthcare careers.
So the Mentor Me program is for students, high school and college students that are interested to go into the medical field. They are paired with first-year residents that they get mentored on a monthly basis. They get to have different sessions with the mentors, and they also get to do one-on-one. So if the student needs support in any type of way, the mentor is available for them to do that.
And about how many students are we talking?
32 students that are part of the Mentor Me program. It's an application process. They start in September and they end in May.
And as far as you know, what schools are represented here today?
We have representation from all the schools. That includes COFA, Gila Ridge, Harvest Prep, San Luis High School, Yuma Catholic. So we have a good representation from all the schools. And it's also college students, so a lot of AWC students as well.
For our listeners, they may want their kids or if they're younger, you know, if they're in school, they want to get involved. How do they get involved or, when can they apply maybe for the next session?
So the Mentor Me MD program, they have to be volunteers. So this is opportunity if you're a volunteer at Onvida Health. So if they want their children to be part of it, I encourage them to apply at onvidahealth.org. They can find the application, and once we have an orientation scheduled, they can we'll send them an email and the information for the next steps.
Just talk about again about the importance of getting people that are in the community to get interested in the medical field and hopefully come back and serve in the community, whether it's Onvida or another medical service here in town.
That's definitely our goal, is to grow our own, to have them get involved and go and become what they want to become and come back and serve their community and their people here in Yuma.
Onvida Health is an underwriter for KAWC. For KAWC News in Yuma, I'm Victor Calderon. Coming up after the break, Alexandra Rangel speaks with Dr. Joe Servin. He's the host of What's Health Got to Do With It? The show will air this and every Sunday on KAWC.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
For KAWC News in Yuma, I'm Alexandra Rangel. Navigating the healthcare system can be overwhelming, especially as insurance policies change and new treatments emerge. To help clear the confusion, Dr. Joe Servin, a neurologist at the Mayo Clinic in Arizona and a professor at Arizona State University, is bringing health-focused conversations to our station. Dr. Joe is the host of What's Health Got to Do With It, the newest program on KAWC. The show premieres this Sunday afternoon. I spoke with Dr. Joe about the topics he'll be exploring and how Yuma listeners can benefit from the information he'll be sharing. Tell us a little bit about what your show is about and the topics you explore.
So what our show is about is trying to make heads or tails of healthcare headlines and how we can help listeners like you and me figure out how to navigate the healthcare system. Health headlines seem to dominate a lot of the headlines, period. And so we're here to kind of have good, trusted expertise to tether those headlines in whatever's going on in healthcare. There is a lot. And figure out, what can I do? How do I use that information to help me get the care I need or get the answers I need or to figure out how to kind of get through the healthcare system. And that's really the bottom line of what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, speaking of headlines, right now we're in the middle of these ACA healthcare subsidies going away. Is that a type of topic you would explore?
Absolutely. So we cover everything from insurance to billing to the latest things going on in medicine, whether it's new, like, you know, whatever the trend in this healthcare or whatever's going on in specific conditions that are making headlines too. Everything from, you know, I'm a brain doctor, so you'll see a lot of topics along Alzheimer's or stroke, but we're also going to be covering, you know, caregiving or what's going on in Congress and the state, for that matter, to just try to figure out what do you need to know as it comes to all the situations that are coming forward. Because so much of health right now is just being thrown at us left and right.
Wow, and you're a practicing neurologist. Where do you work?
So I work over at Mayo Clinic in Arizona, here in Phoenix. I know it's odd that the show's produced in Florida. I had a COVID situation that led to a circumstance where we had to help my mother-in-law, who lived in Florida. And so I kind of go back and forth. So I do the show out there, but I practice actually in Arizona. I've been an Arizona person, I'd say, I've been practicing and living around here for almost 25 years.
Oh, wow. And you're Cuban-American, bilingual, experienced
yes.
medical journalist. How does that kind of shape the stories you seek out?
Well, I think where it really shapes is that I'm very sensitive to Latino affairs overall. As someone whose parents were both left Cuba, and I was the first one in my family born in the U.S., I am exquisitely sensitive to any issues as it comes to immigrant stories and getting health care. The way I actually even got involved in medicine is that this is like as a very, very young kid. I remember in the sixth grade, like at a time that no one should be talking about health care, I was the one out of my family that ended up having to do all the translation from my grandmother every time she went to the hospital. I had to stay in the hospital to serve as that translator as a kid. And so I am very sensitive to it. And what it shapes me is that I listen to see where does language impact things in terms of understanding the story, because that's what I learned about the healthcare system is that if you can't even, I mean, it's hard enough just to understand medical jargon, but when you try to do it just to understand the language of English, that adds a whole extra component and a whole other element that we need to kind of help people out. So I'm always very sensitive to understand how do we get people the best help they can, no matter who you are or where you're from. And that to me has always been kind of like a guiding star, if you will.
I think our listeners will be able to relate. Yuma County, we're a border community. What are some of the big topics or themes you're excited to explore this year?
One of the cool things is that there's a lot going on in the world of both brain science. There's been a lot of new treatments in the world of Alzheimer's, which is a big topic, whether you're Latino or not, in general. And how can we get people to get better help? The weight loss drugs are huge. And now that there's going to be a pill version that is slightly a little better or more affordable, that might help some people. How do we get people to be able to access these things? And I think one of the themes that I try to do is that, I've learned just from my career that we can talk about all the latest and greatest cool things happening in medicine, but if you can't access it or understand how to play the game with insurance and pharmaceuticals and all that stuff, it's almost like it doesn't exist. So I think the exciting thing is that, number one, we have a lot of very good things out there. And I'm just my hope is that we can kind of translate that excitement, number two, and then figure out how is the best way we can get people to get some of that help, especially for chronic conditions that they may not think of. So I think that's where I kind of am starting with. There's so many things happening right now in areas of conditions that we never thought we'd ever see treatments for. And again, I'll start from my own area, Alzheimer's disease, stroke treatment done right in your own driveway. They have stroke ambulances now in certain areas. These are things that I want to just let people know what can exist, what are the possibilities, and not just talk about, oh, how cool it is, but more how can we get that, or at least talk about it so that we can get that in our communities, in a place like Yuma as well.
Yeah, access seems to be a big issue sometimes in Yuma County. We have a lot of people who may travel to Phoenix or Scottsdale. I'm curious, do you come across patients that, you know, travel for medical treatments?
The answer is yes, and sometimes at very big distances. Sadly, sometimes in big places like the Phoenix or Southern California, you get a gravitation of certain doctors living there. So rural healthcare, and rural not necessarily meaning, like what some people may think of it, but just places where there are fewer doctors is huge. But there are cool things that are happening even in telemedicine's expanded access. And I've seen a lot of people who do come from locations, from Yuma and other towns to get help. But I also know that, I saw that very much that University of Arizona is opening up in partnership with an institution there in Yuma, a campus for med school. And so these are possibilities of where access may expand in that regard. But yeah, we do see a lot of patients that do come from different locations. But I'm trying to find out, where can technology meet you? That's one of the positive elements of telemedicine or even social media, which I'm not always a big fan of, but those things can be helpful to kind of get answers for healthcare questions that they may have.
Why is informing the public so important to you?
To me, one thing I have learned from my years of practice, and I've been practicing medicine for almost 30 years now, is the fact that what really is important, yes, you have to get the right diagnosis, yes, you have to get the right treatment, but what really makes people feel better and makes me feel even better that I've helped is when people walk away with a sense of an answer, a question, why is this happening to me? What can I do? What are the actionable steps? I learned that education is everything. In fact, it's probably sometimes bigger than the diagnosis and or treatment in some situations and chronic conditions, because people looking are searching like, am I going, people will say, am I going crazy? No, you're not going crazy. This is what's happening to you. This is what we can do to help. Being heard, being seen, that's what I think is the part that really drives me to get those answers out to people.
If there is a listener who maybe wants you to explore a certain topic, how can they reach you?
Very easily. We are very much want to have listener questions and listener ideas and suggestions. I always tell folks that they can reach us at health@wjct.org is our email. They can get me at social media. I'm on literally every social media at Jay Servin. But health@wjct.org is going to be the direct email. And we look at all of them, all suggestions, and I try to find a way to work those questions in. We have literally on almost every show, we have a listener question. And on one show a month, when we do our what we call our medical roundtable, we have several questions of any type that we are there. We have experts there ready to help answer whatever we can.
Awesome. Well, What's Health Got to Do with It will air Sunday afternoon starting at 4 p.m. on KAWC. Dr. Joe, thank you so much for speaking to us, and we're so excited to have your show on our airwaves.
I can't wait. I'm so delighted that you're all joining the community, and I look forward to making my way out there to visit in person as well at some point in the future.
Oh, we would love that. Yes. Thank
Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
For KAWC News, I'm Alexandra Rangel.
KAWC's Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. Send them to azed@kawc.org. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. Past shows and podcast information is available online. Just visit kawc.org for more information or search Arizona Edition wherever you get your podcasts. You can also take KAWC with you wherever you go. Just download the KAWC COFA app and the listening is in your hands. I'm Victor Calderon. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.